welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we're able to be together again. On yesterday's broadcast, I began to share some lessons from the book of Jonah, lessons that we would do well to apply to our own lives. And we only got as far as the first three verses of chapter one, but with the Lord's help, we'll continue on with that. Importantly, what are the spiritual lessons to be learned? What have we seen thus far? Well, we hear that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord told him to go to Nineveh, which was perhaps the greatest city of that era, of that time. It was the very head or capital, if you would, of the Assyrian Empire that stood for over 300 years. It was located about 280 miles north of Babylon, and it was an evil, wicked city, and it represented, if you will, a proud heathen defiance against God. It was very wicked, and because God is long-suffering and patient, he's not willing that any should perish. So he spoke to his prophet, the Jonah, and he said, go to Nineveh, cry against it, because their wickedness is come up before me. And instead of obeying the Lord, and he had his reasons for not obeying the Lord, they weren't very good, and he learned to regret them, but nonetheless, he did the opposite of what the Lord said. He went in the other direction, going probably to Spain, to Tarshish, and we see that he just boarded a ship, paid the fare, and tried to get away from the presence of the Lord. How many of you found out that that's always not very successful? Amen? And he was defined in a very dramatic way that this was not going to profit him at all, and he had some lessons to learn. So we're going to first look at the perils of disobedience to the Lord. You know, every one of us have our own walk in God, our own ministries. Even if you're not in public fivefold ministry, you have a ministry. There are things that God is asking of you to do because you are a disciple of the Lord. And he wants you to learn his ways. He wants you to be always ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you, to be able to share your testimony with others, to do good to all, especially those that are of the household of faith. There are many things that he asks each one of us, and he's very kind, he's gentle, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And I was just reading this morning that his yoke is easy. The actual word means kind. And so he's not unreasonable, he's not a hard taskmaster. He knows our strengths, he knows our limitations, and he's not going to ask something of you that is physically or spiritually impossible for you to do at that particular point in your life, in your growth process. So he's a very just, a very fair God. And so God was asking Jonah, he was a prophet of the Lord, to do something that to Jonah's mind was hard and unpalatable. He did not like the message that God had given him. And from a carnal point of view, because of who these Ninevites were, it would seem that to refuse God's request would be very reasonable, as well as patriotic. Just think today, how would a person react if they had to go into a foreign country to a people who had oppressed and cruelly treated his own people and who were still very actively an enemy, and then preach to them the mercy of God? That was not an easy thing in the natural that God was asking of Jonah. But as is many times the case when the Lord is speaking to our hearts, he wants us to transcend our own carnal reasonings or our objections to his will, and be willing simply to do it because God has His purposes. And we must always remember He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a good God. And so He would never ask anything unseemly, anything that would be hazardous to you. Even if there are trials that you go through, like, let me look at the prophet Jeremiah, yet God was with him and delivered him. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, I'm just thinking of that scripture, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And so going back to Jonah, it would seem that the prophet Jonah was being asked to prolong the life of a nation which was seeking to exterminate his own people. And from a historical point of view, it's interesting to note that while there are no Assyrian inscriptions which mention a religious awakening such as was described in this book, historically, during the reign of Adoniram, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, the third, who lived in 810 to 783, there was a swing toward monotheism, which may have been the result of Jonah's preaching. And the awakening may have occurred during the reign of his predecessor, Ashuradan II, which was 771 to 754. There were various what would be interpreted by that ancient world as signs of divine judgment. There was a plague in 765, there was eclipse of the sun in 763, and then a second plague in 759. And these were all events of a type regarded by those ancient people as evidence of divine judgment. So God could have used those events to prepare the people to receive the message of Jonah. So as we look at this book, we must remember that this is primarily a prophetic book. The prophecy concerns the nation of Israel, whose ministry was to make known the grace of God to all peoples. That was God's intention. He had foreordained that the Jews, who were His chosen people, to be missionaries to the world. And you know, it's interesting, he told Abraham that they would, the land where when he was walking, it would be to his heritage, his children's children. And this particular land of Canaan, Jerusalem, it was the center of the known world at that time. And God's a wonderful statistician, if you will. He knew exactly why He placed them in that area so they could go out first in Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, because they had the message of salvation. Salvation is of the Jews. We know that's the message he gave to Abraham, the father of the faith, that in him should all, in his descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that certainly has proved to be true. However, because of their national pride and their rebellion to the Lord and their dislike, if not hatred, of Gentile nations, the Jews failed in their commission. Now they are going to have another chance, we know from the book of Revelation, and that time is coming. And so, you know, it's hard to deal with our self-will, things we don't want to do. It's very hard to deny the flesh, but the Lord can make the consequences of that self-will very hard. And as He sought to flee from God, He opened Himself up to a whole bunch of trouble. And so we see, first of all, we've been looking, there are perils of disobedience, and we know in verse 4 that God sent a great tempest, and basically, I will go over this in further detail, but He was thrown overboard and a great fish or whale swallowed Him. And so He had a chance to meditate on God's message in the belly of the whale. So the first lesson to be learned is that there are definitely consequences if we disobey God. And secondly, and we need to understand this, so often the body of Christ has been so hurt and their faith shaken in some instances, especially those young in the faith, when men, women of God that have had great ministries, large ministries, prominence in terms of awareness. People are familiar with them. And when they fall morally, it's a great tragedy. And yet, we see that God uses imperfect men and women as channels of truth. And as I shared earlier, there's a big difference between the gifts and calling of God, which are perfect, they're irrevocable. God's anointing can be powerfully on someone, and yet their own personal life and character may be far from what God desires for them. They have a responsibility to walk in humility and work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So God uses imperfect men and women as channels of truth. And what do we see in the character of Jonah? Well, he's definitely sanctified in some areas. He's a strange and complex mixture of strengths and weaknesses. We see that he's godly. Chapter 1 through 9, when he was answering his fellow shipmates, he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And of course, he's truthful, as we see in that following verse, when the men were exceedingly afraid, because they knew there was some reason for their crisis. They were exceedingly afraid. They said unto him, why hast thou done this? Because he said he fled from the presence of the Lord. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. All right. And we also see that he's courageous. In verse 12, he was manly and he prefers to perish personally without involving those innocent men in his ruin. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Well, I see my time has flown away, and we're going to stop right here, and we'll continue looking at Jonah tomorrow and see what other lessons we can learn. Thank you so much for joining me. It's such a joy and privilege to be able to share God's Word with you. If you're struggling with some situations and some heavy burdens in your life, God wants for us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I invite you to write. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,